Welcome back to Clowncast. So I need to start this one with a question. If I told you the most streamed musical group on the planet right now, in 2026, sings entirely in Spanish, wears bedazzled cowboy hats, and plays a style of music that 10 Mexican states have literally banned from public performance, would you believe me?
I would believe that you're about to tell me something insane. Also banned.
Like legally banned.
Legally restricted. 10 out of 32 Mexican states have implemented bans or restrictions on this music in public spaces. And the group I'm talking about is Fuerza Regida, who displaced Coldplay as the most streamed musical group globally on Spotify. First non-English language group to ever hold that title.
Okay, hold on.
They are bigger than Coldplay, and their own country is trying to ban them.
That's like if the US government tried to outlaw Taylor Swift.
That's a pretty good comparison, actually. And the story of how we got here involves 150 years of musical evolution, a teenager who learned piano on YouTube, and the single most effective censorship backfire in modern music history. Today, we're talking about corridos tumbados and the regional Mexican music explosion.
Regional Mexican. I've seen that category on Spotify, and I'll be honest, I had no idea what it even meant until like 2 years ago.
And that's actually a huge part of this story. But let's start at the beginning. The corrido as a form goes back to the late 1800s in Mexico. It descended from Spanish romance ballads but fused with indigenous storytelling traditions. And here's the thing that blew my mind. Corridos functioned as oral newspapers for communities where people couldn't read. The corrido singer was literally how you got your news.
Wait, that's incredible. So these weren't just songs, they were like the evening broadcast.
Exactly. Battles, heroes, injustice, political movements, all encoded in narrative ballads that people could memorize and pass along. And their golden age was the Mexican Revolution, 1910 to 1920. Songs about Zapata and Pancho Villa that carried hidden political messages. The corrido was the Twitter thread of its era.
The original viral post. Just, you know, with a guitar instead of a phone.
Right, and here's where I want to use our first framework for today, because the evolution of corridos maps almost perfectly onto Pokemon evolution chains.
Oh no, oh yes, keep going.
Think about it. You've got your base form, the revolutionary corrido. It's a narrative ballad that tells stories about real people and real events. That's the core type, right? That never changes. But then environmental pressure triggers an evolution. In the 1970s, drug cultivation booms in Sinaloa. The narco economy transforms entire communities. And the corrido evolves into the narco corrido. Same storytelling DNA, same narrative structure, but now the subject matter shifts from revolutionary heroes to cartel figures.
So it's like Eevee hitting a thunderstone. Same creature, totally different form.
That's the exact analogy I was going for. Yeah. And what's wild is that the very first recorded narco corrido, a song called El Pablo from 1931, was actually a cautionary tale. It wasn't glorifying the drug trade. It was warning about it.
So the original narco corrido was basically a diary ad set to music.
Kind of, but the form evolved, and by the 80s and 90s, some narco corridos were more celebratory, and that's when the ban started rolling in. Sinaloa was the first state to restrict them, but here's the thing. Every single time authorities banned the music, it got more popular, and that brings us to our second metaphor.
Hit me.
Forbidden jutsu from Naruto, or if you prefer, the restricted section from Harry Potter.
Oh, I see where this is going. The ban technique that every young ninja immediately wants to learn.
Precisely. Mexico has literally created a restricted section for its own music. 10 states have banned or restricted corridos in public performance. The U.S. State Department revoked the visas of a group called Los Alegres del Barranco in 2025 after they projected an image of a cartel leader during a concert. Music became a literal geopolitical incident.
The State Department got involved because of a concert visual. That's insane.
It gets better. A singer named Luis R. Conriquez was performing at the 2025 Feria del Caballo in Texcoco, and he was told he couldn't perform narco corridos. So he complied. He didn't sing them, and the audience rioted. They literally forced the band to flee the stage because he wouldn't play the forbidden songs.
So the censorship caused more chaos than the songs ever did. That is the most forbidden jutsu thing I've ever heard. The seal creates the demon.
And remember way back in episode 108 when we talked about graffiti and how you can't contain expression by banning it. This is the audio version. Corridos are graffiti you can hear. And just like we talked about in that episode, the act of prohibition becomes the greatest marketing campaign the art form could ever ask for.
It's the parental advisory sticker all over again. Tipper Gore basically sold 50 million rap albums.
Exactly. And this is the environment that produced the third evolution, the Credo Tombado. Back to our Pokemon framework. Revolutionary Credo, base form, Narco Credo. First evolution triggered by the narco economy. And then around 2018, a teenager in Hermosillo, Sonora named Nat Inokano triggers the final evolution. He taught himself piano at 13 from YouTube, then fused trap and hip-hop beats with traditional corridos storytelling. He coined the term corridos tumbados with his 2019 album of the same name.
A teenager named an entire genre at 16.
At 16, his first song, El de los Lens Gucci, dropped and a guy named Jimmy Himelda, who ran an indie label called Rancho Himelda out of LA, found him on Instagram and signed him. That label went on to also sign Fusa Rigida, Junior H, and Ovi. An entire musical movement launched through YouTube tutorials, Instagram discovery, and an independent label. No major label infrastructure needed.
That is the most 2020s origin story possible. YouTube to Instagram to indie label to global domination.
And this is where I want to bring in our third metaphor, because what happened next is pure shimmer energy from the movie Annihilation.
Oh, the shimmer. Where everything that enters comes out changed, but still recognizable.
Yes, the Credo tradition entered the shimmer of digital platforms and trap production, and what came out the other side was something that looks familiar, but is fundamentally altered at the DNA level. The guitars are still there, but the rhythm mutated. The stories are still there, but they refracted. Revolutionary heroes became narcos, became flex culture icons. The instrumentation, the vocal delivery, the production, all of it got refracted through this new environment. And the breakout star of this refraction was Peso Pluma.
Hassan Emilio Cabanleja. I actually looked up his real name because I couldn't believe Peso Pluma Featherweight was real.
He surpassed Bad Bunny in global Spotify streams in 2023, hit 42.9 million monthly listeners. His nasal vocal delivery became the genre's signature sound, and he did it without ever crossing over to English. Remember episode 128, when Latin music stopped auditioning?
Oh yeah, where we talked about how Latin artists finally stopped asking permission from the English-speaking mainstream.
This is the ultimate proof of that thesis. And actually, if you go even further back to episode 113, we talked about how in the 1950s, cover versions were essentially racial heists. Black artists created the music, white artists covered it and took the charts. Credos Tumbados is like the heist running in reverse. Spanish-language artists took the global charts, without translating a single word. They didn't need a crossover. They just took over.
That's a wild full circle moment. From needing an English language cover to reach mainstream audiences to not needing English at all. The charts came to them.
And the numbers are staggering. Regional Mexican music consumption surged 60% in the US in 2023 alone. 21.9 billion on-demand audio streams. Corridos Tumbados specifically command 77% of all Música Mexicana streams on Spotify. Fusa Rigida's album debuted at number 2 on the Billboard 200, the highest charting regional Mexican album ever and the highest by any Latin band in history.
Number 2 on the Billboard 200, that's not the Latin chart, that's the Everything chart.
The Everything chart, and this is where the industry infrastructure had to catch up. Billboard didn't even have a dedicated regional Mexican chart until April 2025. Think about what we discussed in episode 62, how the record industry literally invented racial categories for music. Race records, hillbilly music, these were boxes the industry created. Regional Mexican is the same kind of box, and it's been flattening dozens of distinct traditions. Banda, Norteño, Sireño, Corridos Tumbados, into one category for years.
So the industry finally had to acknowledge that this one box had gotten too big to ignore.
Way too big. Latin music neared $500 million in mid-year revenue in the first half of 2025. Mexico joined the top 10 global music markets for the first time, directly fueled by this boom. The shimmer expanded and containment became impossible.
Containment was never possible. That's the whole point of the shimmer.
It refracts everything it touches, and the boundary just keeps growing.
And that refraction is still happening. The genre is fragmenting into substyles. Sireño, Tumbado Pop, Acoustic Corridos, collaborations with reggaeton artists, even K-pop crossovers. Each one is a new refraction coming out of the shimmer.
K-pop and Corridos. I didn't have that on my 2026 bingo card.
Nobody did. But here's what I think is the deepest thing about all of this. The Corrido as a format, a narrative ballad that tells stories about real people, has been running for 150 years. The medium changed, the subject matter changed, the production changed, but the core function never did. It's one of the longest-running media formats in the Western Hemisphere.
It really is like a Pokemon that just keeps finding new evolution stones. The base creature is always the storytelling.
Everything else is just what type it picks up along the way.
And that's what makes the censorship debate so fascinating, because the argument against narco-corridos and corridos tumbados is usually about glorification. That these songs promote violence or drug culture. But the oldest corridos documented revolution and injustice. Narco-corridos documented cartel reality. Corridos tumbados document flex culture and street life. At what point does documentation become promotion? Where is the line?
I mean, that's the same argument people had about gangster rap in the 90s. And, you know, about graffiti.
And about punk. It's always the same forbidden jutsu cycle, right?
The establishment says this technique is too dangerous, and every generation of young shinobi says, cool, teach me.
And there's another layer to this that I find really compelling. A lot of the biggest Corridos Tumbados artists, Fuse Arigida, Junior H, are Mexican-American. They're based in the US primarily in California and Texas. So there's this whole identity question. Is this Mexican music? Is it Mexican-American music? Who owns the cultural narrative when the artists live in one country, but the tradition comes from another?
That's a really good question, and I don't think there's a clean answer.
It's diaspora music. It belongs to the in-between.
Which is maybe the most creative thing about it. The form has always lived in the in-between. Between news and art, between documentation and celebration, between Mexico and the United States, the in-between is where the corrido does its best work.
And a fashion thing too, right?
I've seen these guys wearing cowboy hats with like Supreme hoodies.
That aesthetic is everywhere now.
The whole visual identity is a shimmer fashion. Vaquero meets trap star. Western wear meets designer streetwear. Bedazzled denim. They're presenting as both ranchers and rappers simultaneously. And it's gone from Mitch to Coachella. Face a Pluma. Karen Lan. Natanael Cano. Ivan Cornejo. They all performed at Coachella 2024 and 2025. Regional Mexican went from county fair circuits to the most prestigious festival stage in America.
County fairs to Coachella.
That's a pretty wild evolution chain.
The longest evolution chain in modern music. And the thing that keeps getting me is how the Corrido's original function, being the news source for people who couldn't access official channels, still resonates. Streaming is the new cantina. Spotify is the new town square. The Corrido singer is still the bard telling stories that power structures don't want told.
The bard just leveled up from performing in taverns to performing in the global arena.
Same class, legendary gear.
Same class. Always the same class. That's the whole story. Really, 150 years of the same character class finding new spell slots.
Man, this one hit different.
Okay, so what's next?
Where do we go from here?
So here's what I keep thinking about. We've now done multiple episodes about how music crosses borders. Latin music, folk music, the banjo's journey from West Africa. But we haven't really talked about what happens to language itself when cultures collide through music. Like, Corridos Tumbados is creating this whole new slang vocabulary that mixes Spanish, English, and Kalo, and it's spreading through lyrics the same way K-pop spread Korean phrases globally. Next time I want to dig into how music has always been humanity's most powerful language virus. How songs implant foreign words into your brain whether you want them there or not.
Music is a language virus.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like it could get weird in the best way.
It's going to get very weird. Until then, we're Clowncast, and remember, it's not magic, but it kind of is.
It's definitely magic.
Later, everybody.